Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Thank you. It's so very good to be with you this morning, this last day of this year. It's been a wonderful year. I know that we have all had many afflictions and problems throughout the year, but thank the Lord we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, the great physician that we can always pray to. Yeah. I've already learned a great lesson this morning just out of the song service. That song, I don't know that I've really heard it before, but take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what we need to do. Because we have burdens in this life. But we have that perfect one within us that we can always call for, draw nigh to, be with. It's a precious thing.
Amen.
That we even recognize that we have Jesus with us. You know, over in the first epistle of John, he says in the third verse, it says in the ninth verse, the third chapter, I'm sorry, it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He says, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, if you read that from a natural mind, I must not be born of God because I sin. That's not what he's saying, my dear brothers and sisters. There is a perfectness within you.
Right.
It says, his seed remaineth in you.
Right. Amen.
When you are born from above, God does not come down and take your virtues, if you had any, and improve them. He instills in you a new creature. You're a born-again, regenerated child of God. You know, if you get into the third chapter of John, it's very interesting what Jesus tells us. In the third chapter, in the 30th verse, it says, this is John the Baptist that John is writing about. And he says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, this 29th verse, but the friends of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth me, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease.
Yeah.
Think of that. He must increase, but I must decrease. He says, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now think about in your lives, that's exactly what will happen in your life if you're born from above. He shall increase and I shall decrease. That old natural man needs to decrease.
Yeah.
We need to increase that new creature. It says, if any man... Is that in Corinthians? Yeah, 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. God didn't redo you in your virtues. You are a new creature. Now, John teaches that in the 3rd chapter.
Yes.
He says, let us start there. 3rd chapter of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That kingdom of God is that kingdom here on this earth. That's not heaven. And he says, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? He was thinking along the natural realm, not the seed that God put in him. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Still thinking from a natural mind. Brothers and sisters, we have a natural mind. But the carnal mind is enmity against God.
Right. Amen.
He said, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water, I don't think that water is a natural birth. I think that's a water of washing of regeneration. But he says, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are a twofold creature, a twofold being. And it says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Thou canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So I take that to mean that I cannot tell when I was born again.
Right.
I mean, there's some people think that they must know that they were born again and when it was. But I can't figure that out in my life. That's the way I take that. But he says, in Colossians, in the 3rd chapter, I'll go to the 3rd chapter of Colossians. Us being a twofold person, we cannot depend upon our natural senses in order to obey God. We have to follow the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, we must walk in the Spirit. That's what it says in Galatians. But in the 3rd chapter of Colossians, he says, If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now that's something we have to do. If we are to seek it, we are to seek the things that are above. where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also with him be with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery, for which things' sake the wrath of man cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, a filthy communication out of thy mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Put off the old man. Now I'm looking at this old man, and the new man is one that is obedient to God. You are a new creature from the hand of God. But when you are obedient to God, you put on the new man.
Amen.
You put it on. And you take off the old man.
Right.
But now you also put off all these things. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that that created him. So we have in us a perfectness that God put in your heart. He says, I will put my law in their inward parts.
Right.
This is God, that you are born from above and you have that perfectness within you. What we have to do with it is our natural body has to decrease, while that part of us, which is a spiritual being within us, is to increase. That way, Jesus Christ, we are becoming more and more as Jesus Christ. In this old body, it's going to fail. We're going to have problems throughout the rest of our lives. We're going to have physical ailments. But we do have that one that is increasing in us. The old body might be decaying, but there is something richer in you than that old decaying body. Because when that body passes on and is put in the grave, that spirit of you goes immediately to God in heaven. And when Jesus Christ comes again, ye shall be changed and be likened unto Him.
Amen.
It's a precious thing that we have this downhill in our natural body, but we have that different thing, that spiritual thing that is increasing in our bodies, that we may know and be with Christ. In Him we move and we live, and in Him we have our being. It's such a precious thing that we have.
Amen.
That spirit within us. And He put it there. Because a man that... let me get you one more scripture and I'll get out of the way here. One more scripture out of 3 John. Well, in the 7th verse of the first chapter of 1 John, but if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. And He says, the 4th chapter of 1 John and the 13th verse, hereby know we that we dwell in Him. We need to know that we dwell in Him. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. That's where it comes from, brothers and sisters. It's not anything we do. We're as grass. And there's none good, no, not one. But we have a wonderful Jesus and His Spirit that lives within us that we can follow, that we may be like unto Him. It's a precious thing. So good to be with you this morning. I thought there for a minute I might be able to get out of coming up here, but Brother Gary got me. But it's so good to be with you, and God bless you. I hope you have a very happy new year. And thank you for the warmth that you've shown me and my wife here in this loving church of yours.
God bless you, brother. I enjoyed that very much. And agree with you. Amen. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
It's wonderful to hear the wonderful truth of the new birth. And without that new birth, there would have been no difference in our life. We would have never had any love for the things of God or any desire for spiritual things. But because we have been brought out of nature's darkness into His marvelous life and given the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, what a great blessing it is today to be able to have sweet fellowship together. I do ask you, pray for me. I feel the Lord has already blessed us with preaching. Thankful for that. It's always good to have you here, Brother Darrell. But anytime you come visiting with us, I do hope we'll put you in the stand, because I enjoy hearing your dear brethren. So it's very, 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 very thankful that the Lord has blessed you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you this morning from the book of 2 Corinthians, a passage of Scripture that was on my mind last night, continues to be this morning. This passage has to do with God's little children being willing to give to others of God's little children that are in need. And the world gets these things all mixed up so much. It's important for us to put them in the right context. And nothing like the Bible to help us do that, to take the things that are so often misunderstood by the world, even things that appear to be good and right. In order for them to be truly good and right, they have to be in the right context. They have to be in the right place. You have to have the right motivation. And the Bible certainly does that. And chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, we read, beginning at verse 1, the writings of the Apostle Paul, and he's admonishing and teaching the church here at Corinth about giving. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. We're very, very thankful that the Apostle Paul here is instructing the church at Corinth on their duty and their responsibility to help others of God's children. That's the lesson that's involved. And to motivate them to that, he points out the brethren at Macedonia, the brethren there. And there had been a great need. We read about this over in the book of Romans. There was a great need among the church at Jerusalem. And the church at Jerusalem had gone through a hard and difficult time for the cause of Christ. And that need was great there. And we read about that in Romans 15. It says in verse 24 of Romans 15, he says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." What we see here is that the evidence of the new birth shown in these individuals coming out of their concern and their care for others of God's children. Sometimes men give things to others because they want to be seen of men. The Pharisees were very much involved in that. They stood and gave alms, and the alms that they gave were not coming out of a willing heart, but coming out of a heart that desired to have the recognition for what they were doing so that they appeared to others as being righteous. What we want to understand is that the good things that we do and the things that we ought to be doing, it doesn't mean we ought not be giving, we ought not be doing, but it means whatever we do, whatever it is that we're doing, we want to be concerned that we're doing it for the right reason and for the right purpose. And that is to be led by that inner man, which Brother Darrell has already pointed out. There is that spiritual man, that new man that is in us, that leads us and guides us. Even the Lord Himself is in us, leading us and guiding us in the pathway of truth. And when we are involved with questions like, should I give, should I not give? You ride by a little fellow on the side of the road and you often see them, especially this time of year, holding signs, and we might question, what is my responsibility? What is my duty in regard to that? Who is it that I'm supposed to help? And what is it I'm supposed to give? And how much do I give? And, you know, is this much enough? How am I to do that? And here we have the Apostle Paul pointing out the great importance of that very question, because that's one of the evidences of God's little children. Behold how they love one another. And they don't love one another just by saying, "I love you. And yet I don't really care whether you got enough to eat, or whether you got enough clothes to wear, or whether you're sick. I just love you, but I don't really want to do anything that's going to cause me to go out of my way to show you that I love you." That's not real love. Love, it can be a word that's thrown around so haphazardly, and so and yet the love that we want to understand is the love that is given to us by Almighty God, that is charity, which is a love that brings about action. That's what the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is all about. Is that whatsoever we do, if we give all our goods to feed the poor, and our body to be burned, and we have all faith, and we have all knowledge, and we have all these things, and yet if we lack charity, or do not have charity, or are not operating in charity. And by the way, I can't preach charity into you. I can't force it on the outside into you. I can't cause you to do that, because if you go out today and do what I'm telling you to do or saying to you to do, and the only reason you're doing it is because I've said it, that's very much like the Pharisees. That's the lesson. Apostle Paul said that's not the lesson he was teaching them. As a matter of fact, he comes at this lesson and even says in one place that he speaks not by commandment, but by occasion of the foreignness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. In other words, the Apostle Paul himself, who was an apostle and had the authority to command. You see, today we're not the Lord over God's heritage. And that was true in the Apostle Paul's day too. That even though he had the authority of an apostle, he didn't just come and tell them exactly what they had to do. He said, this is the pattern of what you ought to be doing as God's children. And no one has to really teach you this, because the Lord has already worked on the inside. And when you operate on the inside, it gets taken care of. In other words, you have a still small voice, and I have one, the inner man, that teaches us and tells us what we ought to be doing. I'll tell you what else he'll do. When we don't do what we ought to be doing, he'll tell us that also. Isn't that wonderful? That is seemingly a warfare that goes on in our life, but that, listen, we are to fight the good fight of faith and thank God for the battle. And may the Lord help us today to submit ourselves unto the Lord wholly and completely. And then a whole lot of these questions about what am I to do and how much am I to give and when am I on the right, they get answered for God's little children. Isn't it wonderful to have a God big enough to trust? So we can depend on Him to lead us and guide us. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. And that word sounds strange. And I know in the old King James, some people want to put away the old King James because they have some old English terms here. I'll tell you, the depth of the language that's in God's Word is more than we'll ever search out. And I love and we don't want a comic book version of the Scripture. We want the Bible, the Word of God. If you have a comic book version, you'll get the main points laid out, but you won't get the depth of the meaning from reading the real thing. And we have before us God's Word, and I believe preserved for us in English here in the King James Bible, and we can trust in it. He says, moreover, brethren, he's talking to the brethren. You know, there's not a thing the Apostle Paul could do to make them brethren. But he could address them as brethren. Once they have been born of the Spirit of God, they are his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he addresses them as brethren. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That is, we want to make known to you. That's what that word means. I want to make known to you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, when you read that, you think, well, Macedonia is the one given. And yet they weren't the ones who got. And yet they were the ones who got. They were the ones who were given, but they had gotten before they gave. In other words, their giving was blessed because God had given them the grace to bless them to be able to give and give in the right way. Listen, you can give all your goods to feed the poor and your body to be burned, and it will profit nothing if it's not done in the right way, and that is in love and in faith towards God. You and I are to go out in this world. But, you know, oftentimes we say, okay, somebody gave me a Christmas gift, so I'm obligated to give them a Christmas gift. And sometimes we'll look at how much they gave us and from that kind of judge how much we give back. And we kind of work that out. That's not coming out of the inner man. That's coming out of the old natural man. What the spiritual man says is to give as God has blessed us and as God moves us and as God... And I'll tell you, there is a great blessing in giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the Lord Himself proved that. Our great example proved that in giving His only begotten Son. And oh, what a work that was. He says here, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, what was blessing? What was the blessings bestowed on the churches of Macedonia? They cared about others of God's children. They had a genuine concern for brethren they'd never seen before. They had an appreciation for the church of Jerusalem, because it was out of Jerusalem that the gospel had first come. Even to those Gentiles, it had come from Jerusalem. And out of Jerusalem, the gospel had come. And they heard of the great need that was in Jerusalem. And the reason there was a need in Jerusalem, because persecution was happening in the church. And some of them had been deprived of even their daily necessities because they were willing to pay the cost of discipleship, of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were kicked out of the synagogues. They were cut out of their family. They lost their welfare. They lost everything that they had. But these brethren had come to see and understand there are things more important than your food and your drink. Oh, to God, and may the Lord bless us all to understand there are things today more important than meat and drink. And that is to have sweet fellowship with the Lord and to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. These ones in Macedonia had seen the need at Jerusalem, and they had willingly and voluntarily out of their heart. Not because somebody said you had to, not because some commandment came, not because somebody said this has to be done. They weren't keeping the law in this way. They had a law written in their heart where they saw God's little children in need. They had compassion for them, and we ought to have. Listen, when we don't have compassion for God's little children in need, we've got a heart problem. We need to be praying, Lord, cause us to have our hearts tendered so that we're concerned about others of God's little children. I'm concerned about the welfare of Robinson River Church. I'm concerned about the welfare of our sister churches. I'm concerned about the welfare of our church and all of our sister churches. I'm concerned about the needs, and we spent a lot of time this morning talking about the needs that God's little children have, and we ought to be praying for them. And when we can and when we have the ability and the opportunity, we ought to be willing out of our hearts to give as the Lord leads us to give. And when we do it that way, then it's pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And it shows, as he said here, it proves the sincerity of your love. Now listen, you can't do something to make yourself love God. That has to come out of the God. That's a gift of God. If you love the Lord, you love Him because He first loved you. If you believe in Him, it's because He's given you the gift of faith. If you're wanting to help others, it isn't because you got it right. That's why they called this the church in Macedonia. He didn't commend them for their good works. He commended the God of heaven and gave God the praise that there was anything good coming out of Macedonia. Listen, I see many good things coming out of you, dear ones, but I know this, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there wouldn't be any good that came out of any of you. It wouldn't be any good in me or any good in you. We wouldn't care about one another. I genuinely care about you this morning, and I believe that you genuinely care about me. But I know that didn't come out of me, and it didn't come out of you. It came from Him. And I want to thank God for the grace that was shown to us that we would have a concern and a care for one another. And I want to encourage you to operate in that. Put on the old man, off the old man, put on the new man, and walk in these things in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And in that you prove the sincerity of your love. We show that by letting our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Listen, this isn't something that like a Pharisee puts on the outside. It's something God's put on your inside that you are to let shine. You are to let it out. You are to walk in it. You are to live in it. You are to if you be born of the Spirit of God, you are to walk in the Spirit and to give glory and honor unto the Lord. And what he's saying is, I'm seeing this. He's saying, Corinth, I see this in Macedonia, and I want to commend the folks in Macedonia, but above that, I want to thank God for the grace given to them. Because listen, you find a little church operating good, don't pat them on the back. Thank the Lord. If you see you hear a preacher preach, don't thank the preacher. You thank the Lord. If you see any brothers and sisters loving one another, like I see you doing over and over again, I want to thank the Lord for the love that He put in your heart and that He's caused you to have. And that is where all good things come from. Listen, nothing in this world comes that's good comes from a man. It comes from the Lord. All good, every good and perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That's why he says, we do you to wit, I want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction. Listen, Macedonia wasn't having a good time. They were suffering just like those early churches suffered persecution for the cause of Christ. They were speaking the name of Christ. They were hated among the Gentiles because the Gentiles, they had called them from idol worship. The gospel had called them from idol worship to serve the living God. And those who were making money from the idol worship hated those who were preaching things that took money out of their hand. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. And there was that when one followed the gospel, they stopped following Diana. They stopped following false gods. And they stopped giving in those ways. And once that happened, then persecution came upon those churches. And here it says how they were in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. And yet they had an abundance of joy. Listen, in suffering for His name's sake, there was great joy. And they had a joy in that. And that didn't hinder them from helping others. It says, and their deep poverty, what did it do? It abounded unto the riches of their liberality. It means the less they had, the more they gave. The less they had, the more they gave. It wasn't because I got so much, you know. I think of that little widow. Remember all those rich men that came, and Jesus standing there looking at all the rich men who came and gave of their riches, and some put in a great deal. The Lord Jesus, seeing every one of them, knew the motivation of their heart and knew what they were doing. And this little widow woman came and put in two mites, which is a farthing. Not very much. But it was in the sight of others not very much, but I'll tell you what she did. She gave all her living. She took out of her lack and gave. Now, why was that good? Because she did something? Listen, I believe it was the grace of God in her, don't you? I believe God had worked that grace and that desire in her heart, and she gave out of a heart of love and out of a heart full of charity. And she gave to help others because she had a genuine concern for them. And where did that come from? I'll tell you, all of that came out of the new birth. It came as a result of the fruit that was there because of the life that was given her. And He said He commended her because she walked in that. What I'm saying to you is what He said to them is, let us also do likewise. Let us be willing to give as the Lord leads us and as He has blessed us. And He says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, they didn't have the ability to give, but they gave anyway. Have you seen God's children do strange things? I have. I've seen some who had so little, they gave that away. You know why? Because they knew the one who filled their barrel every day. Do you know who fills your barrel every day? Do you know who gives you what you need every day? You say, well, I'm in trouble right now. I've got great needs. Can I say I feel that right now? I have great needs, but I know there's one who provides my needs. He's provided them financially. He's provided them in my family. He's provided them in my life. And though my needs seem sometimes to get so big, and as I grow older, I see them getting greater and greater, I know that my God is just as rich as He's ever been, and He will supply my needs according to the riches of His blessings. And I can look unto Him and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I want to trust and depend upon Him. So when it comes time and God moves me to do something, I won't be sitting there and thinking, you know, like we do sometimes, well, am I going, you know, if I do that, am I going to have enough for this? You know, I'm just getting real this morning. You know, I'm just getting real about it. There are sometimes you wonder, if I do this, am I going to be able to do that? Will I have enough to do this? And most of the times that is things we really don't need anyway. You know, things we really don't need anyway. Sometimes when you get that, you wish you didn't have that. You been there? I'll tell you what, we have a God, you can turn your life over to Him. As a matter of fact, that's what He's called us to do. Take my life and let it be. Lord, let me just trust in Thee. Let me just lean upon Thee wholly. Let me not be worried about things that worry me so often. Let me just turn these things over. These ones in Macedonia had been given the wonderful grace they were going to trust the Lord. And they had had great afflictions and they had a great trouble. And rather than that causing them to stop trusting, they just trusted more. They depended on Him more. And the more they had the afflictions, they didn't have the power. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And then verse 4 says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. In other words, these brethren prayed unto the apostles to take this and give it to the brethren at Jerusalem. You take this that we have and we're giving it to you. Not that you can have it, not to make the preacher rich, but that the preacher might go and share that and distribute that with the brethren at Jerusalem. And Paul felt a duty and a burden, and it filled him with love to see God's little children loving one another that much that they were moved that way. And I'll tell you, it does a pastor's heart good when he sees his church love one another. And it hurts him when he sees them not. But I'm telling you, if you are loving one another, let me say this. That comes how? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. He's the one who supplies that. Here he says, and he commends them. He says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Getting this? He's saying, they came to me and said, we want to make sure these brethren at Jerusalem gets this and that they have this. And he said, we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Not only just to preach to them, but to make sure that their needs were being... It's more to pastoring than just preaching. Oh, preaching is important and preaching is necessary. But it is not just the gospel we care about one another. We're concerned about one another and praying for one another. And we're here to help one another. And he said, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This shows their commitment. First of all, they gave their own selves to the Lord. Now somebody might say, well, see, that's somebody turning their life over to the Lord and making a profession of faith and becoming a child of God. Let me tell you, they were God's children before they ever were able to give themselves over to the Lord. They belonged to Him already. A man that doesn't belong to Him doesn't give himself to the Lord. A man that gives himself to the Lord is one that was chosen before the very foundation of the world, and one that's created, born again, regenerated, made alive, and given a will and a desire. But then once that's been done, you and I are to submit ourselves to the Lord. We're to give ourselves over to the Lord. That's what that hymn is all about. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. It is to give. I give my life to Thee. He owns it anyway. It's to rest in Him and depend upon Him. And because they had given themselves unto the Lord, and He says, unto us by the will of God. That didn't mean they just, with blind obedience, would not pay any attention to what the apostles preached. But they were committed that when the Word of God was going to be preached, they wanted to follow it. I hope you have that commitment today. That what the Bible says, not just what Gary says or Brother Darrell says, but what the Bible says. When Brother Darrell or Brother Gary or any other elder comes and preaches the Word, when the Word is preached, I'm going to respect the Word, I'm going to heed the Word, and I'm going to follow the brother that's preaching the Word. When he ceases to preach the Word, I'm going to cease to follow him. And you have to be aware of that. Try the spirits to see whether they be of God or whether they are not. There are times that Brother Gary and other brethren can get out of the spirit, and we can say things that are in discord, and we may need to be corrected and admonished. And you're not to follow those things. But when what we say is from the Word of God, then don't take it like, well, Brother so-and-so said that, and that's all. I can either take it or leave it. Listen, if it's from God's Word, He's told us we're to receive it. And just as we've given our lives unto the Lord, we should give our ears and our attention to the ministers that are preaching the gospel so that we're following what they're teaching. Now be sure they're teaching the Word. That's why we're to study. That's why I want to encourage you to study, to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know that's for the ministry, but it's also for every member, every brother, every sister, because we need to know what the book says. When a brother says it and we get fed from it, isn't it good when you get fed? Isn't it good when you need something and the Lord gives it to you? Isn't it good when you be able to sit under, you just need some instruction and you hear it from the Word of God? And then when you hear it, though, it's not only important to be hearers of the Word, but to heed it and to do it so that it changes. It makes a difference in our life. That's what taking the name of Jesus with you is all about. Not just keeping it in the confines of a little building, but as we go out into the world, and then we let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works. And what's the ultimate end of that? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. And he says, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord unto us, and unto us by the will of God. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. In other words, if you read about the church at Corinth, you'll see it was a blessed church. It had many teachers that were blessed to instruct. They abounded in utterance. They abounded in faith, which means they had faith. the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I believe they all also had faith, which is the body of doctrine. The doctrine of faith, that they knew the truth. So they had the grace of faith, which was working in their hearts. But they had the doctrine, the truth, and they had an understanding of the truth. They had an understanding of these things. And they had utterance, which means there was preaching and there was teaching going on in Corinth. And they had knowledge. They understood these things. And in all diligence, they were diligent about it. They weren't playing games. And in your love to us, they had love one to the Apostle Paul. And I believe love one to another. He said that not all these things being as it is, you see that you abound in this. Listen, we're not to be a covetous people. What you have and what God has given you has been given to you that you might be of help and a benefit to others. And when you understand that, you'll understand what you have been given as the Lord has given it to you. It has been given to you so that you can help others. And you say, well, who do I help and when do I help? And before you get very far, I'm not talking about filling the basket. I'm not talking about that this morning. There's a duty and a responsibility to God's little children, and you all know that and you understand that. But what I'm talking about is you go in your life, don't be so in love with what God has given you that you're not willing to give it away when the Lord leads you in your heart to give it away and to help some little brother, some little sister, some little church, some minister, whomever, as they stand in need of it, as God, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We believe that, don't we? I saw a little picture one time. I won't go into all that. It was funny though. A group of hard shells were being preached to. And had a man had drawn a picture. I might have shared this at another time, but there was a preacher standing over a pond. And there were a bunch of little turtles. And they said, hard shell preacher was written at the top. And the man was standing there preaching to this group of turtles. And he was preaching salvation by grace. And every little turtle had his eye head right up, looking up in the pond, eye right on the preacher. And they just looked like, boy, they were right there. And they said, hard shell preachers hearing grace. Hard shell preacher preaching grace. And there was the little hard shells looking. And then the next one, it showed hard shell preacher talking about giving. And that was a preacher in the stand, and every little hard shell had his head down and his tail up. I have found the old Baptist to be different than that. I don't know who drew that picture. I've found them to be a giving people, haven't you? I've seen them give out of their poverty. I've sat at some tables of folks that didn't hardly have anything, that gave me the very best they had to eat. I've sat down and eat fried chicken from a place that I knew that it was hard for them to pay for it. I've had people give me things that I had a hard time taking because I realized that may be all they have. But they wanted me to have it. And I'm not talking about just that. I've seen them be willing when there was a need. I've seen those willing to give out of their poverty to help others. They weren't in love with their money. They were in love with the Lord. And I'll tell you, they were richer than the richest men on this world who wouldn't give up a nickel unless they could put their name on it and get credit for it. That's what Apostle Paul's talking about. Don't miss the blessing of giving. Don't miss it. And he says, therefore, as you abound in everything, you abound in faith, good. You abound in utterance, good. You abound in knowledge, good. And in all diligence and in your love to us, but see that you abound in this grace also. He said, Corinth, I want you to have and enjoy what Macedonia has. And you started a year ago, but they stalled somewhere along the line. In other words, they had good intentions a year ago. You got some things about you had good intentions a year ago, but you get stalled along the line. Well, the Apostle Paul's reminding us. Those things, when we had the will to do it a year ago, are they still not important to do? Are there things that we ought not do? Do we have some things? You know, we begin in a new year, but do we have some things that we began, that we started, but then we stalled? Here they had started making a collection and giving it to Titus, but they had stalled. And the Apostle Paul said, what I saw in Macedonia, I want to use that to encourage you to be doing what the Lord would have you to do. And more important than that, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. In other words, because I saw this in Macedonia. And you know that happens when God's little children do the right thing. It encourages others of God's children to do the right thing, doesn't it? And when God's little children do the wrong thing, You know, it's kind of like when someone comes up and loves you, it's kind of hard not to love them back. But when they come up and smack you and spit at you, it's really hard to do the right. It's hard to do the right thing. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? What we want to be doing is remember the one who's always loved us and do it because of him. We want to remember the one who gave his great riches away because of our poverty, because of our need. He was rich, but he came, became poor. The reason he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger is because he became poor. The reason he was born in a barn and there was no room at the inn, and the reason he had a lowly birth and a lowly life wasn't because he didn't own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Wasn't because he didn't own everything. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth. But I'm telling you, even though he was rich, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every particle of dust, he made it and created it. And in the molecule of water, that he didn't create and make. He's the one, all by him all things were created. And without him was not anything made that was made. And I'm telling you, he became poor. He took on our poverty so that you and I might be made rich. Sometimes we think we can't give it away because we might not be able to do. Suppose he had that mindset. He came and suffered in our room instead on the cross and paid a sin debt that we could not pay. That's what he says in verse 9, and we'll just close with that. I know I'm way over time. He said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, isn't it wonderful? I'm talking about what we ought to do, and I haven't talked about works really at all. Even though there are works to be done, but we do our works by the grace of God. That's why the glory belongs to the Lord. It's the grace of God that works in us to be able for us to work out what God has worked in to give him the honor and the glory and the praise. So it's not about us doing something so God rewards us for what we do. It's grace that motivates us to do the things. And when we do that, we'll find grace in grace along the way. We get grace for grace. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty," get this, "might be rich." Now, might be doesn't mean maybe you will and maybe you won't. I'm telling you, those whom he came to make rich are going to be rich. They're going to be rich. He didn't try to do it. Might be means how he did it. Might be is how it was accomplished. How is it that you and I could ever live in heaven? You ever think about that? How is it one day that you and I will stand before him holy, without any blame, without any sin? How is it that even today we can be presented before him as holy and blameless? How could I even worship him today or he be heard in heaven? How could that be? It's because he became poor. Because he paid the sin debt that I could not pay. He took upon himself that which I could not bear. And he nailed it to the tree of the cross, never to be remembered against us anymore. And what we deserved, he bore. And what he deserved, he gave to us. How is it that we can't take what he's blessed us with and share it with others as the Lord leads us? Somebody said, "How much do you give? When do you give it? What do? You just ask the Lord. And I'll tell you what, he'll teach you right in your heart what you do. He'll speak to you in your heart. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Paul didn't put them under commandment. He didn't put them under a law service. So much of the religious world today put people under a law service. This is what you got to give. Some people say you got to give 10%. Listen, if we're going to give God what he owes, he owns it all. We have to give it all. Give it all to him. You give as the Lord has blessed you. And he who has a little, give as the Lord has blessed you. He who has a lot, it isn't about whether you have a... He's already proven to us. It isn't about whether you give two mites or two farthing. It's about are you doing what the Lord would have you to do. And if you do, you'll hear, just like God's little children hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you'll have peace in your heart. I hope something I've said has been of some benefit to you. If it has, give the Lord the praise for that. Please remember me in your prayers. God bless you. What number? 40. Grace is free, I mean.